Hey, how are you doing? Are you struggling to relax and switch off from the hyperactivity of everyday life? Then take a quick dip with me, Suzanne Duckett, health and beauty journalist and author of my new book, Bathe, as we rediscover the oldest art of relaxation. While my guests bear all and share their helpful strategies for overcoming modern physical and mental challenges to help us chase away the blues. And we promise you won't be left behind. In this show, you will experience each treatment side by side with us as we share the benefits, secrets, and sounds of bathing in various forms, gasping, squealing, and laughing along the way. This week, I'm side by side with a model in a swimsuit. I know. So I'm on my way up to the Russian Banya. I'm at the South Kensington Club in Kensington, as the name would suggest, in London. And I'm going to have a banya, a Russian banya, with Rosemary Ferguson. Now, Rose, as she's known to her friends, is a naturopath and she's a nutritionist. And she's a former model, although she does still do a little bit of modelling here and there. But she knows only too well how to get fast and frenzied in the world of fashion and wellness and with her clients and travelling around the world with all sorts of work projects. So I hope she knows what she's let herself in for. I'm never fully honest because it might freak people out, but it's going to get very hot, very sweaty, and I hope she enjoys it. Where does that love of wellness come from?
Well, it definitely is in my family. I come from a complementary medicine family. My mum was doing kinesiology on me when it was called Touch for Health. You know, I didn't even know.
Is it called Touch for Health? And so just to explain kinesiology, so what would you sound by that? What is kinesiology?
Balancing of the body energies. Okay. I'd say. But I mean, it's great.
Is that when you hold something and your muscle reacts as to whether you have an allergy or you need it or not need it?
Yeah, exactly. And it disrupts the energy pathway, so then you lose any power to the arm. I mean, my mum used to do it so you think about stuff. So she would help me with exams, you know, if I had a mind block about a maths exam. And we used to so all my children now do it. Before you go into an exam, you cross crawl, so you touch your hand to your opposite knee and you sort of march crossing the hands over.
Oh, yes.
To get
yes.
both parts of the brain working, yes. which is, you know, kind of obvious. But I used to do it religiously before every exam, like run to the loo, do a quick cross crawl and then go in. And
brilliant.
So, you know, and then my stepdad is a homeopath and my gran had a health food shop. So I've kind of been surrounded by homeopathy. I've always been interested in food. I've used it as a credit scoring system, you know, so it's sort of like, okay, so I'll have a late night, I'm tired, so I wouldn't go and eat trash, I'd go and eat something good.
So you'd replenish?
I'd try.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think it wasn't even that conscious, actually, funny enough. It's just how I operate, you know, and that's, I suppose, where my interest in food came, because then I was like, I want to know why. Why am I doing this? You know, why is it good for you?
Banyas are around 10 times the humidity of saunas, and the traditional black cabins are heated with an open flame stone stove in the centre rather than an electrical element. There's another big difference, the venic, a bunch of thin branches, usually from birch or oak trees, that a therapist in a felt hat uses to whip your skin to increase circulation.
How are you?
Better for seeing you.
Oh, it's nice and warm in here.
Yeah.
You do feel good if you do it. And actually, if I'm not doing anything, like exercise-wise, and that'll do, that counts.
Really interesting studies, and I write about it in the book, Bathe, actually. It talks a lot about how there's a similar effect to exercise.
Great.
Yeah.
Because it does feel, maybe that's why I do it, because I mean, I do it anyway. I know that it's really good for the lymph and all that, but it does make you feel, gives you that cardio high in a way.
Yeah, it does. Well, it does speed up the lymphatic circulation, heart rate changes, so love it.
Yeah,
brilliant. Well, welcome anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Have you done anything like this?
I've never done I've done plunge pools.
Yes.
So I used to
do a sauna.
I've done a sauna and a steam, but I've never done but is it birch or beach?
Well, birch or eucalyptus.
It's birch. I mean, Russian banyas traditionally any tree branches, yes. Whatever you've got, but they tend to use them.
I used to go to the Russian baths in New York. Do you remember 10th Street baths?
Yes.
Really seedy.
Yes,
really.
I know.
But I mean, that pool, I wouldn't care. Like, no. This huge Russian massaging you.
Yeah.
And then you'd leave feeling incredible. But it was not, it didn't look quite like this.
No, it was a bit more the old sort of communal bathing that no one had raised the money to do up.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of part of the charm in a weird way.
It was part of the charm, but I don't think it's still like that now. I was actually talking about it the other day, saying, I wonder if it's still, and we looked at it online, it still looked like it was still like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so lots of New York cab drivers probably still go there and don't notice. Yeah, I think exactly. It's fabulous. Yeah. Well, this is fabulous. This is the other end of the spectrum. And it's interesting, taking something that was originally created in Russia for the everyman,
yeah,
as to keep them clean and healthy and serene. And they believe, the Russians, that it had miraculous healing benefits, the banya, because of this circulation and boosting the immune. And if you're coming down with something, it would get that out of the system quicker. If you already had something, it would get rid of it faster.
Yeah. If you're saying it speeds up your circulation, then it's speeding up everything, you know, your metabolism, everything, so therefore the body's...
And also the community getting together,
yeah,
you know, hanging out, so... Yeah. So, I'm sure it'll be... We're going to get the 5-star version here, though.
You know, like, I love going for a facial or anything where they apply stuff to you, but this is you getting your body working for you, which...
Just triggering your own healing process.
Yeah.
I think these kind of things make you look better than a facial.
Yes.
It gives you such a... Although, I'm warning you, I will go puce. I will go really, really purple red, so don't panic. It's very normal. I've just got such fair skin. Because all the blood
too,
comes to the surface. That's one of the things it does. And then if you go red, you go really red.
Yeah.
So just warning you.
My name is Artem, so... Just explain a little bit what we're going to do now, because before we start the treatment, basically, I would need you to just go with me inside and warm up a bit, because during the treatment, the temperature is much more intensive. It's much higher than just in a regular sauna. So before we start, we just need your body to get used to it, basically. We spend around 10 minutes in there just for you to sweat a little bit to feel the heat, okay?
And what is the temperature?
Around 90 degrees Celsius at the moment.
Cozy.
Yeah,
it's chilly outside. And what's a sauna normally? What's the difference between the temperature and a sauna?
It would be slightly lower in terms of temperature, but the main difference is the humidity inside the room and the origin of the steam of the heat in general. In Russian bunny, it's always run by fire. It has much more stones inside, so the steam is much more gentle. So that's why the temperature is slightly higher, so you don't feel it as harsh as in a sauna.
And is that
gentler temperature, even though it's still very hot, does that help with the detox process? Because someone did tell me, if you do that intense thing of getting in a sauna that's really, really hot, staying in it for 10 minutes and coming out, you don't detox as well as if you're in a slightly cooler for a bit longer, the intervals. Is that right?
At some point, yes. But we hear what we do, the treatment itself that we're going to do, this Russian Parenya, it's making all the process much faster. It stimulates the whole body, basically. We're going to take the steam, we're going to deliver it inside in the inner body. So it's going to help to open up the pores, which stimulates the sweating. You're going to... Treatment lasts around 10 minutes. Normally, average person loses around 0.5 liter of water during that time. So it's that much faster than just sitting inside. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm already quite warm. I don't know about you. I know.
Just choose my lunch carefully today. But I'm getting in a banya, in a bikini with a former model.
Once a model, always a model.
Should we get inside for now, do the session of warming up, and then after you can continue inside? I was just to leave your robes out here. Just take these towels.
It is like looking into an oven.
Yeah, just let's come inside. The best way,
it's like being in a little wooden hut in the middle of the mountains.
Actually, it just makes me think that's what's quite nice about this sort of thing, is doing it with people, because nobody gives a damn how you look. It's not about that.
No, it's not.
And that's what I quite love about this.
And I think that's what's really healthy about the communal experience in other countries that really embrace it. Yeah. The whole family's there. Nudity then becomes a bit more normal. It doesn't become this thing that we're always covered up in our clothes. And apparently in Japan, the boys that do the onsen with their family have a lower aggression rate.
Oh,
so it's quite interesting by seeing people semi-naked a lot of the time. It does something to your psyche.
I suppose because I suppose you see people in a vulnerable, and I suppose if you are naked, then you are more vulnerable.
Yes.
And so, you know, and I think we're very uptight in this country about it.
Totally, very prudish. Would you do something like this with your family? Would they be up for it, or would they be mortified?
I would. I'm not entirely sure my husband would. He might. I don't know. I was just thinking the only way I could get him to do something if it was my birthday. I'd say, this is what I'm giving myself, and you're having to do it because it's my birthday. Because I think he'd love it.
Yeah.
I think he would, if he was going to do it, it would be with us. But he wouldn't do it as, you know, he wouldn't come and have it in the morning.
As soon as you feel his enough. Let's do the break. Let's take a seat, drink some tea.
Yeah, we don't need to be martyrs, Rose. Okay.
That's enough.
Right, walk slowly, please. If you fainted on me, it'd be really, you know, wouldn't be there.
Just a second, it'll cover you.
Please let it be cold. Please let it be cold. Ooh, so it doesn't take long, does it, to get the sweat on in there? There is something about sweating that you do immediately feel much healthier, though. If you're in the, I mean, obviously not if you're in clothes on the underground, that's really unpleasant, but if you're doing it naturally like this, it feels really cleansing. Mind, you'd have to probably be quite careful about having an alcoholic drink after all of this. But don't the Russians have a slug of vodka?
Well, if it's a one shot, it might be used as, like, you know, medical kind of purposes.
Really?
But not more than that. Because, like, after the treatment, your circulation is faster for about 30 to 40%. So even, like, a glass of wine might hit you like a bottle, basically.
Oh, wow.
It's
going very, very fast.
And the medicinal value of having a shot of vodka, is that just folklore, or is there some genuine health benefits?
I mean, of course, it has some history with the Russian culture, I would say. But in general, yeah, it just helps to boost up your little bit more than that.
Okay.
It just helps you to sweat, to warm up the inner body a bit more.
Okay, so
but same effect can be reached by drinking a cup of hot tea,
basically.
But
in Russia, is this still commonplace to do this? Is there still lots of banyas?
Yeah, it's a tradition.
Yeah.
You can find it everywhere. It doesn't matter, it doesn't have a certain part of Russia. You can find it all over the country.
And do you think as well the relaxation benefits? We're talking about the health benefits, but does it have a mental relaxation? Because I feel, because everything slows down a bit when you're hot, don't you find?
Russia, it's not considered as a spa or a luxury place or something. It's a communal area, basically, where people are meeting with their friends, with their families. And what we're going to do, going to start by pouring the water on the stones inside the stove, which going to generate the steam. It's going to get inside the room. It's going to get slightly hotter than it is now, but mainly, basically, the steam stays on the top. Then what we're going to do with the oak leaves, we're going to take it from the top of the room.
It is oak.
Yeah.
And they're wet. Okay.
And push it, deliver it down towards your body. Basically, the leaves, I know the treatment sounds a bit weird, we're whipping you with the leaves, but it's not just a whipping. Leaves allow us
who's
to
enjoy this the most.
So basically, leaves just allowing us to control and manipulate the steam inside the room. They do, I would say, in themselves, 40% of the job only. 60% of the job done by steam inside here. So with the leaves, we deliver it down towards you. We're going to start slowly. We're going to start with the light, gentle touches, and little by little increasing the intensity towards a light whipping. So that's going to help you to get used to the heat. After that, when the leaves going to get hot themselves, they're going to start releasing the essential oils, which going to react with your skin as soon as they touch it. They're going to help to stimulate the opening of the pores. Then through the open pores, we push the steam inside in the inner layers of your body. So it gets in. First stage, it's a pure detox. You start sweating much more than usual. As I said, in 10 minutes, you lose around half a liter of water. So then after that, with the time being, we reach your muscles as well. Helps to soften them, relax them, stretch them a little bit, remove the tension.
That's so nice.
Oh, lovely.
All right, ladies, the only thing about the treatment, you should expect it to be hot, yeah?
Yeah.
But the heat stays on a bearable level. So it means it doesn't burn the skin, it doesn't feel uncomfortable, it shouldn't be painful at any moment, yeah?
Okay.
Should be nice and warm. If at some point you feel it's too much, don't be shy, just let us know. In general, just communicate with us how you feel. Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
So you can feel how the heat is coming closer to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is the real deal, guys.
It really is, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying. The leaves, they should be really, really soft, so it's not painful or anything like that.
No, it's nice.
It feels like I'm in a car wash.
That's so nice.
Refresh the cold leaf. At the moment, you will see how different it is. Okay. Put your face down. Put your face down.
We're just making it for this soppy, wussy English people, aren't we?
Here we go.
Oh.
How does it feel? You see, it does make a difference.
Yeah,
huge.
Someone's opened the window in my brain.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Naturally high, not more, not less than that.
Now naturally high.
This is, I'm feeling like naturally high.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's like hedonism and
right,
torture.
Right, turn around.
Right, well, I'm going back
just
in the
relax,
torch
relax.
Chamber.
No, relax.
Like, where am I going?
I'm, like, hold, I'm hugging a man I just met. Oh.
Okay, take a deep breath in. Breathe out. Breathe out slowly. Relax your back.
That's quite intense. Oh wow. Definitely takes your breath away. It's like being really, really seriously frisked. You know when you're at the airport, you get frisked. This is like
deep
the intense version.
Slow, breathe out. See how the tension's going away? Those bubbles?
Actually, I think this is more painful than childbirth.
You relax
this.
Oh,
wow.
Relax your shoulders and neck. Take a deep breath in. Breathe out.
Oh, this is nice.
The treatment, in terms of pressure for the body, is equal to around 45 minutes of running.
Oh,
how are you feeling? Well, I'm quite hot, actually. I'm really hot.
Yeah.
Well, you, but I feel great.
Glowing.
Right, I feel like I'm
glowing.
On fire, actually.
It's intense, though, isn't it?
Really intense.
But amazing. What was your favourite bit?
I like the plunge pool, definitely. Mm. And actually, the bucket wasn't as cold as I was expecting, but still, when you've been in that, I think it must be, you know, when you're so hot, then it's just so nice to get something freezing poured on top of you.
Oh, love it. I love that contrast. It does give you, and they do say it releases happy hormones. You get this this sort of runner's endorphin, don't
it's like
you?
Like a cardio high.
Mm.
You know what else I loved, actually, was my favourite, is the ice cold, because there was actually ice cubes in that, because I felt this hard thing. I was like, what is that? It was an ice cube in the... Was it eucalyptus? No, it wasn't. It was birch, wasn't it?
The pillow.
The pillow.
Yeah.
That was quite good, but I did giggle because there was actually an ice cube and it didn't feel that cold, but it felt cold. You know, it was pretty good.
So soothing. And there was one part when I literally felt like, you know, when they refreshed them.
Yeah.
When we were lying on those cold leaves in that really hot banya and they refreshed them and it felt like somebody had opened a window in my mind.
Yeah.
Just this space, actually. It gave such headspace.
Yeah.
Because for you... With a very busy life.
Yeah.
What are you up to at the moment? Because you've got a lot going on, and I wanted to find out what you're doing at the moment, what have you got on, and how do you cope with that, finding headspace?
It's really busy at the moment. I've said the foolish words when we got back in September. after summer, I said, well, it's not going to get head mental again. I'm going to really keep a lid on it. We're going to take it calmly.
Sure.
Stupid. What a stupid thing to say. Those words have rung in my head every day since then, because it's
just
been insane.
Yes to everything and went crazy again.
It's been mental. So we did New York. We took the 5-day plan to New York. I don't really think, it's not a natural second step, but it sort of was in a way, just because I used to live there, so there were lots of people.
Yes.
So I sort of have the support structure there. And
is it a 5-day health kick?
It's a 5-day health kick. It's really about showing people, the power of food. So it's not about fasting, which I love. I think fasting is great, but I think it gets misused.
Yes.
People use it to crash diet.
Yeah.
Which is crash dieting, even if you're starving, whatever, whichever way you do it, if that's your... That's not why you should be fasting. So I thought, well, I'm tired of this. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
So really, this is just a really anti-inflammatory 5 days. That's literally it's just eating a very anti-inflammatory diet for 5 days. And by the end of it, you feel totally different. So
yeah.
It's kind of like, look, this is what you can do, the power of food in 5 days.
Yeah.
And you can totally change how you feel. So it ended up being 5 days because people seemed to be unwilling to engage at the weekends, basically.
Right.
Everyone was like...
I remember doing a juice fast over a weekend, which didn't agree with me at all. It was horrific. And I ended up in a supermarket on the Sunday afternoon eating whatever I could get my hands on. I was like a mad person at the counter, just paid for all, and then was just, mini corn eggs, those vegetarian little mini eggs and Wotsits and really, really random things. But on the way there, when I had all my juices, there was a man on the tube with a giant pizza next to me, and he kept bumping me with his giant pizza when I'm on my way home to start a juice fast.
Yeah.
And the smell of mozzarella and tomato, so.
Yes.
Needless to say, I started the fast on the Saturday.
Yes.
I wasn't going to start that night after smelling that. So you're doing that, which is full on.
So I'm doing that.
You're busy doing patients.
Yes, so
patients,
clinic is busy.
Clients. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's busy. And that's going really well. And then I'm busy with Filth, which is the vegetarian. Well, it's actually basically vegan.
Yes.
It's vegan. Burger company with Gizzy Erskine. So January is very, very busy because we open Filth on 4th of January.
Yeah.
And we're taking over a dirty burger site for Shoreditch House, which is really exciting. So her house were like, they loved it. So we're taking over one of their burger sites.
Yes.
And so that's really busy. That's going to be quite exciting because it's taken quite a long time. We've taken a long time developing the burger.
Yes.
It just takes a long time to bring it to market.
So it is like a really filthy...
It's like a
junk burger, but
it's
the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We want it to feel filthy. It's meant to feel like junk food.
Yes.
That's how
and
it's
all
meant.
Those touch points. So,
yeah.
Okay, so you've basically got quite a lot going on.
Yes.
So how do you find relaxation in all of that? How do you, whether mentally, physically, do you separate them? Do you need mental relaxation and physical relaxation? Do you think they're two separate things?
I tell you what, I think there's two different types of relaxation. Sometimes I'm tired,
mm-hmm.
and then I need to veg out a bit, so that's when I would watch TV and just switch off and do nothing. Because sometimes I find, the like yoga and meditation or running, which I need to give myself a bit of me time, can be also part of the stress recipe.
Yes.
When in my diary I've got purple exercise time, red meeting, yellow, blue clot.
You colour code your relaxation time.
I colour code my exercise time gets colour coded. So that if I'm looking at my diary, I'm like, okay, I've got time to get there, and that. But that's what I mean. So there
actually,
is something
what
about.
What a great idea though, because then you can see when you don't have enough relaxation in your diary.
Mm.
How do you relax the mind?
Well, I've been I'm on this permanent quest to work out meditation. So there are two things. So I use an app.
Mm-hmm.
There's one called Insight Timer that
yes.
I really like. There's one called Calm,
mm-hmm.
Which I started listening to. My friend basically, she does it, and then I copy her. So she now she's got another one which I can't remember what it's called now. But basically, spends an hour and a half in the morning doing all her different meditations. I don't do that,
wow,
but
that's
I do.
Committed.
Yeah, she really does, because I think if you talk to anyone who meditates, the more you meditate,
absolutely.
The more you want to meditate.
Yes.
The more,
I'm a bit like that.
Yes.
I do 20 minutes a day, twice a day.
Oh, do you?
And I just have it's a Vedic, one word, my mantra, and that I just sit wherever I am and I just do it. And I quite like the freedom of not having the technology support.
Yes.
I like to be able to I like to know, part of the therapy for me with that was I can do this anywhere, without a phone, on a bus, anywhere I like.
Yes.
So it's interesting. I never thought I'd be up to doing 46 minutes a day. never thought. But it now, to me, that's like someone saying, I don't have a shower some mornings. For me to not meditate some mornings, it's, that would be the same.
And how long did it take?
For me, it was almost instant. Because tiredness that I'd been storing for so long almost over a weekend disappeared. Because it does release all this fatigue out the system. Yeah. And so to me, having tried so many things, as you'd imagine, in my line of work, to relax and not feel tired, it was so instant that I thought, well, if this is the effect it can do, I'm doing this forever.
Wow.
So that's done. So that's why it's,
I mean, you really do notice if I do it, I feel, well, apart from anything, because I think stress takes up quite a lot of my mind time, like unless, you know, well, not that, it's unproductive.
Yes.
And I don't get stuff done, I just get stressed.
Yeah, and sort of go around in circles, don't you? Really, and then make yourself more stressed because you're not actually doing anything.
And then you snap at somebody and then you have to apologise to them for snapping at them when actually you shouldn't have snapped in the first place and just should have, you know, sort of spoken calmly and dealt with it.
So you're still working on that, the meditation side.
Yeah, so that's what I do for my mind. And also the other thing that I love doing is Audible. Listening to books.
Yes, do you?
Yeah, that's quite nice because I'm a terrible TV watcher. I love it. I love TV. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel nourished by it. Whereas if I go for a walk, so we're talking about nature earlier. So I love, when I run actually, I tend to listen to an audible, and I tend to listen to sort of like, you know, like spiritual books. Like I'm listening to The Untethered Soul at the moment, which is amazing. So I quite like those, you know, that I find quite meditative.
Yes. And helpful.
Yeah.
So it's calming you and relaxing you, but also you're learning maybe some life skills or some spirituality comes on board.
Yeah. Or do you, and you're just sort of pondering a few bits about yourself. It's you know, rather than when you watch TV, it's just you're putting your someone else is entertaining you, these books are more thoughtful. So
yeah, I agree. It's a bit more. And also, I think TV's still stimulating you, isn't it? Because there's things.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, I can't really watch horrific things now, you know, if it's really scary or
I'm terrible
anything. I just think, why am I going to again get myself stressed and get my adrenals going? In your past life as a model, and obviously do you still do bits and pieces now?
I do every now and then, not very really rarely, but I mean partly because I'm very busy like with other stuff, and modeling tends to be much more ad hoc. It's like, can you work next week? No, I can't.
No. Yeah, they want but, that short, I suppose, the short notice,
but
don't
I do every now and then. Every now and then I do, and I love it. It's fun. It's fun to go because they're all my friends. You know.
Yes.
So it's quite.
You're not going to do a job unless you're going to really enjoy and have a nice time with it.
Yeah.
And when you look back though at the sort of frenzied world of fashion.
Yeah.
What did you do when you were, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and in the middle of all of that? Because you were originally going. You were studying philosophy, right?
No, I was going to study psychology at the LSE.
Okay.
And then I took a year out, which turned into 13 years.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah.
So then you found yourself in the fashion world.
Yeah.
The madness of that. What were you doing any wellness as we know it now back then? Or was wellness, I don't know, having going to bed early?
Well, no, that didn't happen.
No.
But I think that's when I started first did yoga, actually, which is funny because I did yoga then at Jiva Mukti in New York, and then I was also doing Thai boxing, like, you know, so I've always done sport, actually. That is what I have always done. I've always done something physical, always. Yes. And then I didn't really ever get that into yoga because, you know, so I did a bit of it then, and then I came back to yoga this year, actually. I went away and did it on a retreat and was like, oh, my body feels really different, amazing, you know, and I feel different. So, and then back in the when I was working as a model, I guess, you know, I was always quite, I did used to juice. That's where I started juicing. And I used to, you know, people walk around with their coffees in cups. I'd always have a juice in a cup. I've always been interested in food. I've used it as a credit scoring system, you know, so it's sort of like, okay, so I'll have a late night, I'm tired, so I wouldn't go and eat trash, I'd go and eat something good.
So you'd replenish.
I'd try.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think it wasn't even that conscious, actually, funny enough. It's just how I operate, you know. And that's, I suppose, where my interest in food came, because then I was like, I want to know why. Why am I doing this? You know, why is it good for you?
Yes. And where does that love of wellness come from?
Well, I think, I mean, it definitely is in my family. I come from a complementary medicine family. My mum was doing kinesiology on me when it was called Touch for Health. You know, I didn't even know.
Is it called Touch for Health? And so just to explain kinesiology, so what would you sound by that? What is kinesiology?
Balancing of the body energies. I'd okay. say. But I mean, it's great.
Is that when you hold something and your muscle reacts as to whether you have an allergy or you need it or not need it?
Yeah, exactly. And it disrupts the energy pathway, so then you lose any power to the arm. I mean, my mum used to do it so you think about stuff. So she would help me with exams, you know, if I had a mind block about a maths exam. And we used to so all my children now do it. Before you go into an exam, you cross crawl, so you touch your hand to your opposite knee, and you sort of march, crossing the hands over.
Oh, yes,
to get
yes.
both parts of the brain working, yes. which is, you know, kind of obvious. But I used to do it religiously before every exam, like run to the loo, do a quick cross crawl, and then go in. And
brilliant.
So, you know, and then my stepdad is a homeopath, and my gran had a health food shop. So I've kind of been surrounded by homeopathy, alternative medicine. You know, I never had any injections when I was a kid.
No.
I was the only child in the no queue for the BCG.
Yeah.
I was like, Mum, but I want it. Yeah. Everybody,
I want that weird scar.
I want to be like everyone
part
else.
Part of that tribe.
Yeah.
Did you get a lot of stick from that?
It was just that particular day. I remember everybody, and I was the only child in the no queue. And then,
and did they accept that though? Because I mean, it's not easy now. You know, it's so controversial, the whole immunisation thing, isn't it?
Well, I get a lot of stick. I've had a lot of stick for my kids.
Yeah.
Trying to battle that one.
Yes.
You know, and actually, you know, so now I have, but actually at the time I didn't. I think when my mum, I had to get typhoid for something, and my mum actually had to give in because I think it was a legal requirement of the country.
Right.
I can't remember where we were going. But
so you couldn't get in unless you had proof that you'd had that. Yeah.
Yeah, she tried to get around that one, but it didn't happen. So we ended up with typhoid injection, not the illness.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's so interesting, isn't it? Because you can get some real wellness purists that.
Yeah,
just wouldn't go to that country if they had to have that. So, and what, in terms of, I suppose then, so a lot of physical health was in your background, but mental health was in there as well, because these things are very mindy, aren't they? You know, like crossing the body and doing all of those.
Yeah.
Not crossing the body like a religious person, but you're saying that.
Crossing the energy.
Yeah. So how do you think it's taking you a while to sort of do the mental health? Do you think that's harder for us to grasp?
Yeah, I think it is because I think people forget about the mental health, actually. Because even when you're saying that, I'm like, oh yeah, we've been talking about physical health.
Yes.
So it's not sort of something that has the same. So I think when people talk about, are you feeling healthy? I think people think about the physical body.
Yeah.
I think, oh no, I'm not ill. I haven't got a cold. No, there are no aches and pains.
Yeah. But can you be mentally happy?
Then you say, how
as well
do
as
you,
physically happy?
Yeah. Anxieties are really. I notice in clinic. It's a really good way of getting someone to engage with their mental wellness, because as soon as you said you have anxiety, a lot of people will say, oh yeah, I do.
It's almost part of life now though, isn't it? Mm. So it's hard to then call that out for yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, because of what I do, I'm really aware, and I know when my levels are getting up, and then I have to clear the diary or change things up, because I can't go there anymore, actually. I can't do that.
No.
But some people, a lot of people actually, when I, you know, I go out and I do have a chat with them, and they start telling you about this and that, and you go, do you realise you're actually quite stressed? And they just think, well, it's just life, it's just normal.
Yeah.
Do you find people are?
I think stress is really normal now. And I think it's one of the biggest issues, stress and fatigue. Stress and fatigue are the two things that I see in clinic, the common driver of many, many, many problems are stress and fatigue. And the problem with stress that I find really hard, fatigue is you can help. Food can really help. I mean, food can really help stress too. But if I have clients who I see again and again and again, and they do everything I tell them, and they do, they go to yoga at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then they do, and then eventually you just have to say, listen, unless you change something, your lifestyle, what you're doing, the amount you're trying to do, or the amount you're holding, the stress isn't going to go away. There's no supplement, no food can change that.
Because it is, it's that constant, as you say, holding on to that pressure all the time, all the time, and just not letting that go.
Yeah.
Which is tough. And how do you, I mean, you're married to an artist. His work's phenomenal and intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's that like? He must get stressed.
It's really stressful for me.
So how do you cope with other people's stress, your family's stress?
Well, I don't think he'd mind saying about the fact that we've definitely gone and talked to somebody. We've had, you know, therapy.
Oh, I think this is them coming to see if we want anything. Do you want some tea while we go
I'm actually
tea and therapy. Hello. Yes, perfect. I think we have everything. Do you want some more tea, Rose?
It's all good. I'm actually fine, thank you.
So yeah, tell me about stress as a couple. How do you handle
So I don't think you'd mind. You know, we have been and talked to and had therapy before, or you know, couples help. because sometimes it does get really too much. So as a couple, we've done that. And then stress-wise...
And was that helpful? Was
really
that,
helpful. Yeah. Do you know what it was helpful for, actually, was communicating.
Yes.
Because how the hell are you supposed to know how to talk to somebody else about something that's difficult?
Yes.
Who, I don't, you know, it's so, so, was so brilliant, actually, yeah. at saying, actually, this is how the own, you know, if you don't want to have a huge blazing row.
Yes.
We're both quite feisty.
Yeah.
Then try talking to each other like this. And if that doesn't work, take a bit of time out and come back and try again. And that is the most important, you know, I think communication within a marriage is, well, it's not rocket science to work that out, but it really helped us. That's yeah. the bit that helped.
And it's great as well that you are happy to talk about that. You know, I've absolutely have no qualms saying, yeah, I've been to a therapist with my husband. Yeah. And like people say, I go to a personal trainer.
Yeah.
I go to a masseuse or I get, you know, yeah. it's part of, go to a dentist. It's all part of your help to be healthy.
Yes.
And
happy.
Happy. And relationship's such a huge part of that. Yeah. And do you have similar ways to relax and get that headspace? So what you've done the talk therapy and you try and bring that into play as much as possible. And I'm sure like sometimes it's just a good row. Just has to happen.
Oh my God, we have really good rows.
Yeah, just got to get on with a good row, get it out in the open. But do you, I mean, for instance, will he go for a run with you or...
No, so
would you do a banya together?
I don't know. I was thinking that at the beginning, but I think that he would definitely have a panic attack.
Would he? That would be
I think it would be too hot for him.
Really?
I think so. I don't know. I think he'd love it if he could stick it out.
Yeah.
And actually, you're not in there for that long. So
no, exactly.
But no, he wouldn't choose to do that, but he would if, you know.
He'd love the results.
He'd like the results, but he's not a kind, it's not really his thing. He is much more of a nature outdoors, so going for a walk. He would run, but he has got... He's quite injured, my husband. He's managed to break every bone in his body pretty much through throwing himself around. So walking, he loves walking. So we went to Scotland for Easter and walked every day for miles and miles and miles.
But would he get in a lake? Would he strip off and get in a lake?
Yes, he would do that.
So he would do... He'd
do that sort of stuff, but he wouldn't go to like a fancy health spa type place.
Right, it's got to be out in nature.
I mean, he's relaxing. He has a motocross track and that's what he does. Okay. He goes on a motorbike, like jumping over things.
Okay, hence the broken bones.
Yeah, and hence broken bones. But actually, he did start doing yoga.
Did he?
Yes,
or
shocking.
Broga, as they call it for the boys.
Oh, is that what they call
Broga.
It? Broga. Broga, yeah. Well, he started doing it and actually loved it, but I think for the same reason he really realised how different his body felt. And he got all the benefits from it, like the mental... feeling good. I don't know, he really loved it.
And it's the singular focus again without necessarily having to sit and meditate, because some people just will never, that's just, they won't ever manage that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're doing something like that, you do go into that singular focus and then shut out some of the to-do list and the worry list a bit, don't you? Because you're so busy thinking about the next move.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And what about the children? I mean, you're juggling three children, one's at university, and how old are the other two, the younger
13
ones?
13 and 12.
Yeah. So that's quite a full-on age, lots going on there.
Yeah, all girls. My husband says it's like being in women's hour most of the time. we juggle it. It's a juggle. Jake's actually very good. So between the two of us, we get there and it's fine. That's something that actually I am really conscious of, is being stressed and then being crabby with the kids because it's busy. Because that tends to be what I've worked out happens. And then I'm like, no, that's wrong.
Yes. That's not their fault.
No.
Yes.
So, they did some yoga too. The 13-year-old doesn't like it. She just wants to do the Shavasana. She's like, just call me at the end when they come and do that massagey thing on the shoulders. That's the bit I like.
Good girl.
They're very netball fantastic. I mean, properly like.
Yeah, my daughter, she's 11 in January and she's. She loves sports. She does like yoga as well, though. And I did take her for a kids' meditation with the people that taught me. And she's still not...
No.
She's not got into it. She says to me, I don't need to because I'm not stressed. Mm. But I'm glad she's got it now because it's like a little tool in the toolbox that she can take out in later life. It won't be a weird thing because she's done it when she was younger. I'm hoping anyway, because I don't know if you find, but the social media is going to be a big issue, isn't it? How
it's
do you... Do you think that... causes you stress because they want to be on it, and then you see the effect of that? Does it stress them, especially the older ones and Instagram? And
It's awful. I mean, they've actually said to me they wish they weren't around with when there was, they wish there was no social media. I mean, it's just awful because they're so obsessed by it. But you know, the screen time's great because you can block them. So after an hour, their screens go dark.
Okay.
So they can only be on social media for an hour a day.
Right.
But still, yes, I think.
What's the stressful aspect for them? Is it the seeing things they haven't been invited to? I mean, is it the same as what we as adults get stressed with, that it drains you, you spend a bit too much time on it, you see things you haven't been invited to, you think other people are doing better than you or got better lives than you?
I think all of that. And I think it's also just always looking out rather than looking like at what's right next to you and what's around you. So I think it's all those things, like looking through and looking at these lives and going, and it's the constant, and it's the sort of franticness of the scrolling.
Yes.
Like, just chill out.
Yeah.
Stop, you know. And I think it's that thing of having to do it, you know, having to know what everybody's doing all the time.
Yeah.
That's quite stressful.
Yes.
So, you know, whenever I take their phones away quite a lot because it drives me mad.
Yeah.
It's definitely my red rag thing. So we have quite a lot of no phone time. And we always have a really nice time when there's no phones around.
Yeah. But it's funny, isn't it? Because I see with friends who've got ones a bit older, and when you take the screen away initially, they get into a real hump, don't they? Like a proper addict. Like when you're taking that little fix away, they kind of get really annoyed.
Mm.
And then afterwards, and then when they've forgotten about it, it's fine.
Yes.
So that's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but being in the country, so you live it outside, outside London. Do you throw them outside, make them get outside?
Or yeah.
Is that also, kids, why do kids not want to go outside, but then when they're outside, they have a great time?
I know, I don't know. So they used to ride quite a lot, but they don't now that they're all at secondary school. They're like, well, they're just teenagers, aren't they, really? So they sort of are inside quite a lot, actually. But then having said that, they are very into netball, my two younger. And so they are outside playing netball quite a lot.
Well, that's
and then,
great.
I mean, country kids do definitely spend more time outside. You know, in the summer they have an amazing time.
Yeah.
It's very much seasonal where we are. You know, so in the summer the kids are out, there's a river, they go and, you know, they have kind of an idyllic life.
Yeah.
In the winter it's much more difficult. You know, they can't go out anywhere because we are literally in the middle of the fields.
On holiday, do you all have, what would you do? Would you go to the spa together? Would you go and sit in a sauna? Would you do anything like that? Or... So you're saying it's more the walking, that's your family bonding
walking,
time?
I think probably. So Jake is not a big beach person, but he's not a big beach. I mean, if you knew him, it would make you laugh, the idea of Jake hanging out on a beach. It just doesn't really happen.
No.
So we're going to India actually next week, and we are going to go, we're going to do a little bit of sun, but we're going to go travelling around Rajasthan.
Okay, lovely.
So that's
I think. Do plenty of yoga there.
We can do plenty
of yoga
there.
Very different. Take pyjamas.
We will, because it's
don't
cold.
Don't take Lycra as well. Because they don't like you doing Western in kind of
take loose
clothes. Uh-huh. Yeah, because if they want to adjust you, it's not good if you're in skin tight lycra.
That's a very good top tip. Mm. Thank you.
So it takes them almost like pajamas, which will be fun in itself.
Okay.
Seeing Jake in pajamas doing yoga.
Well, exactly.
Be good therapy for you.
Yes, exactly.
Good laugh.
Is he allowed to wear shorts, do you think?
Probably loose shorts.
Loose
shorts.
Mm. I don't think he'd wear lycra at any point.
No.
So yeah, so we're going to do that, and then do you know another family favourite holiday is going to the snow? Like going. I mean, we don't go very much, but and we're not very good either.
So would you ski?
I ski. Actually, me and the girls ski, and he snowboards.
Oh, nice. Well, they say there's now mindful skiing as well, and they say that's taking off as quite a big trend. Which, again, stopping intermittently and seeing the mountain, looking at the blue sky. You know, so it's not just about the sport of skiing or whizzing down the mountain.
But I don't think, so for us, we're really not very good at it. I think it's just the whole thing. Yeah. We like the air and the, you know, and the food and everything. So,
yeah.
I totally get that.
Likewise, I'm definitely a mountain girl.
Yeah,
if I had to choose from mountain and beach.
Yeah.
I can imagine you rocking a beach look, though.
I quite like the beach. I love the beach, actually. I like the sea.
Yeah.
I like both, but yeah.
What's next? What's your next thing? What do you, where can you see your wellness world moving from the food, and are you bringing any other aspects in, or are you just going to run with what you've got because it's got a lot on your plate, excuse the pun?
Well, I think so next year I think we'll definitely be, so I mean at the beginning of the year I'm doing a 5-day plan with matches fashion.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. That's a fashion and food.
Yes, fusion. Great.
And then, as I say, Filth will start in January. So I think it's probably going to be quite a big year for that. I think it's going to be a busy year with that. And yes. I hope it will go well. And then I don't really know.
Do you have that cellophane around the burger? Like they do in, let's not mention the chains, but you know those burger paper that you wrap them with?
Yes,
and those
paper.
Kind of. Yes. Yes. Okay.
It's funny finding eco-friendly. And then yes. Now suddenly there's been a bit of a curveball of eco-friendly dye, because I don't know if we've used eco-friendly dye in the wrap.
Oh.
So that now has to be looked at, because obviously, I mean, it will be food safe, but whether it's environmentally friendly.
Yes.
So yes, we are. We're basically trying to emulate one of the very famous burger brands.
Yes.
And some of that aspect
is the sensorial, is the shape, the colours, the rustle of the paper, and
yeah.
You know, it's a really,
the way that it operates.
It's a really sensorial scenario,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So you are, in a way, bringing in the psychology that
yeah.
you didn't do back when. As you're losing a lot of psych. You're using a lot of psychology
yeah.
in your. Wellness.
Well, we're trying to. I mean, I suppose you're also trying to get people to enjoy. So, health food has a weird association of not very nice food, a bit nutty, and especially with burgers, and a bit wholesome.
Yes.
And actually, health food doesn't have to be. I mean, it should be wholesome in its makeup.
Yes.
But it can also taste amazing and taste dirty or take. You know.
Yes. What are the? Do you fry the chips?
Do you know that we are actually
yes.
going to fry the chips? Because we're going to use
good oil.
Ones with skin
yes.
on them. We're going to use sweet potato chips too. We're going
yes.
to use better oil.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to use rapeseed oil or a nut oil. We're just deciding which is better. But we tried baking. We've tried every which way. We've tried an air fryer. We've tried everything. But it doesn't taste or feel like a chip.
No filth.
And there's no filth. And so then there's no point doing it. Then
no.
We're not. Delivering on what it's meant to be, which is a burger joint. So we are actually frying. So it's been quite interesting doing it, because I'm working with Gizzy, who's all about making sure it tastes and feels like a real burger. And I'm going, yeah, but can't we just be really clever about how we do that to make it healthier?
Yeah, but she's got that absolute purity of the food hit as well, hasn't
yes,
she, at heart?
Exactly.
So
which, yeah,
it's
which is almost the most important. Well, it is the most important thing, as much as I'd like to think the nutrition is.
Yes.
The most important thing is.
You can't have it all, though, can you?
No. But you can't. So compared to a normal burger, it's through the roof on nutrition.
Yes.
So, but, you know, that's the thing that I think is quite exciting. It's because, like, it's about bringing healthy food. Healthy food shouldn't be this elite thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it does, it gets really snooty,
the wellness world. And actually that's another thing that, so talking about how people I see in my clinic, it's like, no, you could, it's for everybody, and it doesn't have to be this sort of intimidating. That's so wrong. I don't
yeah.
know why it's like that, and it really.
Yeah, I think it's a bit like fashion, isn't it, though? It tends to be the most extreme things get the press.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I mean, that's why I wrote Bathe, actually, one of the reasons, because it was felt really democratic, that a bath,
yes.
you know, most people have got access to a bathtub.
Yes.
And I just wanted to remind people, actually, and not only the relaxation and the mental aspects of just getting in the bath,
yeah.
but there's some, and as you felt today, there are some, okay, we're not getting extreme temperatures like that,
yeah.
but a hot bath.
Yeah.
And I think we were talking about the hot and cold shower thing.
Yeah.
If I'm a little bit tired in the morning, if I've had a late night, couple of wines,
yeah.
Hot bath full of salts,
yeah.
and some really good like grapefruit oil or citrus oil, and I get in the bath for 15 minutes, really hot bath,
yeah.
into the shower, cold shower, back in the hot bath, cold shower, back in the hot bath. I mean, that will chase away a hangover.
Okay,
I love that, and I'm with you on that, making wellness more accessible, because
yeah.
even if you haven't got a separate shower, just throw some cold water on your face while you're in the hot bath.
Yeah.
Or stand up and put cold flannels all over your body.
Yeah.
It's amazing how easy it is to feel good.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love, what you're doing. It is. It's that more high street fashion store of wellness.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, Bond Street.
No, exactly. Mm. And the thing is that we're talking about people's health here. That's
yes.
what annoys me, is it's so, like, it's so crucial. You know, when you look at the diabetes statistics, it's like, it could be changed so easy. It could be changed so. I mean, it's not easy to get people to comply, but it is easy to change the messages that are getting sent out there, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I just think it's all the processed food. If you're just constantly eating processed food,
yeah.
I just don't know how you can feel
yeah.
good.
Well, I know, but the problem is that then it comes to the expense of food, the food
yes.
politics. You know, so cheap food, processed
and
food is cheap.
Postcode, postcode wellness. Mm. There are pockets, especially in London, where it's very difficult to get wellness and to get health food shops.
Yes,
some areas just
don't have
it. It's not there. No. So what do you do?
I'd love to come and do this again. I totally could get into it.
Well, I'm really pleased you joined me, and I had such fun. I did get the giggles at one stage, and we've done a lot of shrieking.
That's quite a lot of
and
shrieking.
I can never really prepare people for quite what I'm going to bring them to, but I'm hoping it was worth it.
It was so worth it, and I wasn't prepared at all. I had no idea that it was going to be that hot, but it was great. There was quite a lot of screeching.
Good. Well, let's see if you can take some of those leaves home, then maybe you can whip Jake with them later.
Beat him later with my oak leaves.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. It's been such fun. I really enjoyed it. And we'll go ice bathing next. Yeah, we'll do that next.
I want to do that, the one you were talking about.
Yeah, we'll do it. I'll let you know.
All right.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Well, thank you very much for joining us and listening to the Bathe podcast. Don't miss the next episode. I am going to have a sound bath with Ward Thomas, as you do. Ward Thomas are twin sisters and they are country and western musicians. So I thought it would be really interesting to invite them to come and have a gong bath with me, or sound therapy as it's also known. And what the gong is supposed to do is calm a nervous system and have all sorts of healing effects on the body. We're pretty much made up of water, and apparently the vibrations of the gong go into that water within the cell and has quite a profound effect on the mind, calming down the mind. So I thought two millennial country and western singers, very busy, that it would be very good to come and have them experience that kind of immersive sound therapy.
Today we're going to be playing the Chiron gong and the 432 bowl. Both of them resonate at a different resonancy, a different vibration, but they're very beneficial at helping bring up our vibration and bathing the body in healing sounds. Good for stress relief, setting new intentions, rebuilding one's energy.
I went to the safe places, your happy places. Nice. I literally went through a little film.
And I can imagine, if it's triggering childhood memories in your brain, I can imagine it being very helpful. The music career, nothing happens overnight, nothing happens straight away. And whenever we've done gigs, the first gig that we ever did, I remember being on stage the whole time thinking and criticising everything that I'd just done instead of actually being present on that stage.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's taken years and years of us playing shows over and over and over again for me not to come off stage and be like, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. You should have done that.
And of course, you can always jump onto the website, lovetobathe.co.uk, where you'll find lots of other tips and tricks and other bathing recipes and therapies.